coming to you this morning with very grateful hearts. God, hearts knowing and believing that you are exactly who you say you are. And Lord, this morning I pray that you will open up our hearts and open up our minds and let us see something we've never seen before. Open our hearts up so that we can receive a word from you that will forever change us and will forever be changed by you, and so that you receive all the glory and praise. We love you this morning and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture this morning is going to come out of Mark chapter 2. And I will start at verse 1. And before we started this call, when I logged on to the call, I heard a couple of you talking about seeing cool things, seeing things you've never seen before. And my heart jumped with joy. It really did, because that's what the Lord's been talking to me about this morning, is seeing things from a different angle, or seeing things from a different viewpoint, or seeing things, in other words, in a way that you've never seen them before. I don't know how many of you have tried to, I was talking to Alex this morning, and tried to like put something together, or, you know, doing a job at work, and you just can't make it fit, or you can't figure it out. And then a man or a woman, boss or coworker, whomever it may be, will come along, and something you spent, you know, minutes or hours or even sometimes days on, he or she is able to figure it out in a matter of moments. They're able to make it fit just right. They're able to make it work. They're able to make the time work, whatever it may be. And the reason that I believe that that happens, that I believe that people in our lives are able to do something that maybe we're not able to do, is because they look at it from a different angle. They look at it from a different viewpoint. They look at it in a way that you and I are not looking at it. And that's not meant to condemn us, but it is meant to show us that there's more out there. There's more opportunities. There's more things that we're able to do. And even in the scriptures and with God, just because we don't understand something in the scripture doesn't mean that we're not called to understand it. It just means there's an opportunity there for us, that God's waiting on us to maybe look at it a different way, from the left or from the right, or up top, or crouch down and look at it from that viewpoint. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, this morning, all of us have been in a situation or are in a situation that we feel like we just don't understand. We feel frustrated. We feel like, God, I've done everything I know to do. God, I don't see a way out of this. God, if you don't intervene in this situation, then God, I don't know how we're going to come out of it. And I have good news for you this morning. That's exactly where God wants you to be. That's exactly where God wants me to be. He wants me to be at my wit's end. He wants me to use every ability that I have to get out of it or figure it out. And when I get to my wit's end, when I've tried everything that I know to do, I love God, because God will sweep in. He'll sweep in like a good father and make it work. He'll sweep in like a good father and figure it all out. He'll sweep in like a good father and completely take over the situation. And how many of us know this morning that when God takes over a situation, then that settles it? When God intervenes, that fixes it. It accomplishes everything that he wants done. So this morning in Mark chapter 2, a very, very familiar story that I don't think I've ever taught from. I was talking to Alex about it this morning, and I never really loved the story, not because I think it's a bad story or anything. I just maybe didn't understand it. And now I realize I was looking at it from the wrong angle. In Mark chapter 2, the Bible says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." Verse 3, "Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying." Verse 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you. When we back up to verse 2 here, we see, and even verse 3, we see that these men have got faith and they've heard about Jesus. They've heard that Jesus is in this house. They've heard that this house is where the master of the world, the master of the universe is preaching. So they take their friend to this house to be healed. But right when they get to this house, they see that it is packed. I believe the Bible is so descriptive here because God wants us to understand that, listen, this thing was elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. There wasn't any more room. And when the men saw that there was no room, they did not give up. When the men's faith was immediately met with opposition, they did not give up. Brothers and sisters, I know a lot of us are praying for things, for God to move on, for God to heal, for God to help our family, our friends, and even our enemies, people, our coworkers. And immediately when we begin to fast, you know, people bring cookies. Immediately when we begin to believe God, then darts of doubt come our way. What if we quit looking at the opposition as woe is me? What if we quit? What if we stop looking at the darts and the fiery trials and the things that are coming our way as ways to get upset or ways to get frustrated? What if we looked at that opposition as an opportunity? Say it again. What if the opposition was a sign of an opportunity? What if when we are trying to do the right thing and all hell's breaking out against us, what if we looked at that as a sign saying, wait a minute, I'm on the right path? What if we stopped getting frustrated, we got our praise and our worship on? What if we felt like we can't make ends meet and we still paid our tithes and our offerings? What if we gave God a chance? What if we allowed ourselves to look at it from a different angle? These men were faced with adversity when they looked at around this house and in this house, and most people would have gave up. Most people would have looked at the situation and said, listen, we tried our best. And there's nothing wrong with trying your best. These men could have said, listen, we tried to do the right thing, but it just didn't work out. It wasn't God's timing. It wasn't the season or the time for this. We'll wait to another day. We'll put it off. You know, I know I've done that in my life. When I've tried to do something for the Lord or tried to help somebody and I faced adversity, I've given up. I've gotten frustrated. I've not decided to look at it from a different angle. But I thank God this morning that these men did not give up. They saw that the house was packed. They saw that their opportunity to get to Jesus was limited but not stopped. You see, they looked at it from a different angle. They looked at it like, listen, what can we do to get to the master? And you see, this morning, brothers and sisters, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to get to God. Sometimes it takes us to pray or fast or believe in spite of all hell going on around us. But I have good news for you this morning. There's always a path to Jesus. There's always a path to the Savior. Sometimes it's not the easiest way, but God will always make a way to Himself. Don't give up this morning. Just look at it from a different viewpoint. Look at it from a different angle. And this morning, I thank God that these brothers were willing to take a climb. They were willing to climb the stairs because back then the stairs would have been on the outside of the house. And they were willing not only to climb the stairs, but they were willing to dig through the roof. Doing a little studying over the years, I guess, of how the houses were made, they would take hard clay and sticks, and then they would pound it together. Some even used, I guess, what we would call a modern-day roller, although it wasn't that nice. But they would do it to compact the clay and the mud and the dirt so that they could create, you know, a watertight, literally a watertight seal. And they would do this over and over and over again so that they could have protection from the elements. They could have protection from the sun, the wind, the rain, whatever it may be, even, you know, animals and those type of things. But these men didn't allow what took a lot of people a lot of time and effort to stop them. They were willing to tear away at this roof layer by layer. They didn't get there in 30 seconds. They didn't get there in a few minutes. No doubt, I believe that it took them a lot of time. I believe each one of them had to help pull layers and layers away. This morning, brothers and sisters, I thank God that we can pull layers and layers away. Our miracles might not come the first day. They may not come the first week. They may not even come the first month. But I promise you, if you will put the work in, if you will put the faith in to allow God to peel back the layer and the layer, then he can take back the hurt that many people, that it took them years to put on you. He can do it in a matter of minutes. He can do it in a matter of moments. And this morning, these people were willing to go to Jesus, and they were going to get there no matter what it took. They were going to get there because they knew that if they got there, everything was going to be okay. They didn't have a predetermined plan. They didn't say, okay, when we get him through the roof or we get him in the house, go do this, Jesus, and go do this. They just knew that they had to get into the presence of Jesus, the Savior, God himself. So you and I need to stop telling God how to do it. We need to stop telling God, God, I need you to do it this way, and say, God, do it your way. And that's a hard thing to do, because when we do that, we have to look at it from a different angle. We have to say, God, if I think you should do it this way, but you're God, you're good daddy, you're the good father, you are the one that loves us, you are the one that redeemed us, you are the one that picks us up every morning. So God, your way is okay with me. I may not understand your way, I may have doubt, I may worry, I may get frustrated, but God, as long as you're there, I know I'll be okay. I was sharing with you guys earlier that today my kids have somehow made me promise a couple days ago to take them to this jump park and ride go-karts or whatever on my day off that I don't get many of, but hallelujah, I'm going to take them because they made me promise a few days ago. But one thing about it, my kids have not told me how to drive to get there. They've not cared to look up the directions. They've not made sure I had money in my pocket. They have done absolutely nothing except say, Daddy, will you take us there? And that's all we have to do with God. That is absolutely all that you and me have to do with God, is saying, Daddy, will you help me? Daddy, will you move this out of my way? Daddy, will you save my son or my daughter or my mom or my dad or my husband or my wife? You don't have to tell God how to do it. You don't have to worry about, does he have the ability or the power to do it? Because he holds all power in his right hand. Today we can learn a lesson from my kids and just know that if Daddy says he'll do it, then if Daddy says he'll do it, then he'll do it. God will never disappoint you. He'll never fail you. He'll never tell you he'll do something and not accomplish exactly what he sets out to do. My kids are sitting on that couch this morning with absolutely no doubt in their mind that they'll get to go ride those go-karts. They know that not only will they get to ride those go-karts, but when we get there, they'll get to do whatever they want, not because of their goodness, but because they know I love them. Because they know that maybe they messed up yesterday, but that's okay because Daddy and Mama love them. Brothers and sisters, God's not worried about your fault yesterday. He's not worried about your shortcoming this morning or even in this moment, but he is worried about you getting to him. We can learn from these men that took this paralytic up there on that roof and they lowered him down because that paralytic was in a stuck situation. How many of us this morning feel stuck? How many of us this morning feel like we tried everything and we're still not moving? We're still not accomplishing the goal financially. We still don't have a husband or a wife or a child. I looked in a woman's eyes last week, that they've been trying to get pregnant, and she looked at me with pain in her eyes, and she began to explain to me some hurt and some disappointments, and I looked at the woman, and it was full of faith, and I had the ability to know that I used to be in that situation. My wife used to be in that situation, but God spoke a word. God spoke a word. God gave us a faith, and God gave us the ability to have kids. God did that for me, so I can encourage that lady and explain to her that God will do it for her and her husband. This morning, in closing, brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to do something we've never done before to get something we've never had before. You have to be willing to look at it or treat it differently or believe more or be willing to forgive or whatever the situation may be if you want to attain something you've never had before. In the Bible days, doing a little research, a lot of men and women, when it got really hot, would go up on this roof, and this is the place that they would sleep. This is the place, because they didn't have central heating and air, for sure. That would have drove me crazy. God knows I couldn't live back then. I love my heat and air conditioner. But these people would go up on the roof, and they would sleep because it would be too hot in the house. They would get up there and no doubt lay around, and because they were in the, you know, the air, they would feel cool and they'd be able to rest. So at the very place that a lot of people rested, a lot of people were lazy, a lot of people would slumber, is the exact location that these men took advantage of that location and pulled back the layers. I believe God is showing us that if we feel stuck or we feel immovable or we feel like we've been in the same situation and we have no way out, that we can take advantage of places that other people have been lazy. We can take advantage of other places that people have slumbered or they've rested or they've not took that angle before. These men, no doubt, were the first people in history that ever broke through a roof and laid down a man to Jesus. And what I love probably most about the story is that they didn't know what was going to happen when Jesus saw them coming through the roof. They didn't know how I believe they were going to get the man through the roof, because I believe according to the height of the roof and the floor of the buildings, the houses, I believe that there had to be other men and women down there that could accept the man on the mat. You see, brothers and sisters, one thing I can promise you, if you'll do things differently, if you'll look at things from a different angle, then no doubt God will send you brothers and sisters in the Lord that will help you along your way. I believe if the men didn't have people on the ground to accept the paralytic, then there's no way he could have got to Jesus. But I believe as they uncovered these layers, as they worked as a team, as they did things, they got dirty. No doubt there's mud and things behind their fingernails. They were willing to get in the dirt, literally. That they created this hole and they had this man and they looked down and they saw people welcoming them with open arms. They saw people reaching up to them saying, "Listen, bring him down. We'll get him to the master." This morning I have good news. No matter if you're the people that's pulling away layers, or no matter if you're the paralytic on the mat saying, "God, I'm stuck," God will make a way. God will always be there to accept us. He'll always be there to rescue us. He will always be there to redeem us. This weekend, I have the opportunity to speak at my wife's niece's quinceañera. She's turning 15 years old. And my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law are excited, and she's excited, and it's going to be a great event. And they asked me to speak a few weeks ago, and I'm telling you, I struggled with it. I would talk to the Lord, and I'd be like, "Lord, what do you want me to say?" And man, I was struggling. I really, really was. And it wasn't until a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Daisy, which is my wife's niece's mom, my sister-in-law. And I was talking to her and I was like, "You know, listen, this is hard and I don't know what to say." And she looked me dead in the eyes and she said, "Alan, treat it like it was your own daughter." What she was basically telling me is, "Alan, look at it a different way. Don't look at it like you're speaking to your niece. Look at it like you're speaking to your daughter." And the very night that she told me that, man, I had plenty of stuff to say. I didn't struggle with it anymore. I could write thousands and thousands of words because I can look at it like it's my daughter. I can look at it like it's my daughter who I have a relationship with. But it wasn't until this woman looked at me in the eyes and said, listen, do it a different way. Look at it differently. Change your angle. Change your viewpoint. And when she said that, the floodgates of heaven opened. And brothers and sisters, the greatest advice, the greatest word I can give anybody this morning that will hear this message is look at it a different way. I challenge you this morning to look at that pain from a different angle. And if you need to climb some stairs, climb some stairs. If you need to pull away some layers of hurt, then I encourage you to pull away some layers of hurt. If you need to be the people that carries a brother or sister to the Lord, then do that. But above all else, make sure you get to Him. Make sure that you get into the presence of the one that numbered the very hair on our heads. Make sure you get into the presence of the one that put His right hand out and His left hand out and redeemed you and me on the cross. Make sure you get into the presence of the one that on that third day got up out of that grave and said, all power on heaven and in earth, it belongs to me. Make sure that you get into the presence of the one that said, listen, if I go away, I will be faithful to come back to you. Get to the presence of the one that will allow you to face life from any angle, any vantage point, any opportunity. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that we can be like the men bringing a brother and sister to the Lord. We can be like the paralytic. God, I know a lot of us are like that paralytic. God, we feel stuck and frustrated. And maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's a big thing. But you're the God of both. So this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray for their situations that they feel stuck or they feel abandoned in or they feel like nobody's there to help them. And God, I pray that you will send people into their lives. Send people into their lives to help motivate them, to help encourage them, to sow a seed financially, to sow a seed spiritually, whatever it may be. I pray, God, that you will show all of us that you are the one that can fix it. You're the one that's not bound by any level of hardship. You're not bound by any level of difficulty because you are Yahweh. You are God with us. This morning, we thank you and we pray these things done by faith. And we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.